Welcome to the 121st episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Quizmaster Lee, and not as usual, but for the first time in a while, right across from me, in the flesh, in the Sarks himself.
I am right here.
Quizmaster Mark Davis.
In my chair.
Mm-hmm.
I got my
the throne.
Oh, I got my good. I got my relaxing gangster lean on.
It's so good to see
it's
you.
It's so
friend.
Good to see you. Oh my goodness! I want you to know that on my way here, I tried to get you an egg McMuffin.
Bless
Hashtag
your heart.
Not an act ad, but ever since coronavirus, they've stopped doing breakfast for dinner. I guess it's like rewritten the rules. So I was not able to do it. Yeah, I know. I think it's so
Most unexpected ways.
It took years to be able to finally get breakfast for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And then COVID comes through, and I would not be surprised if we found out that McDonald's was partially responsible for COVID and trying to make it so they don't have to serve breakfast for dinner anymore.
Wow. What websites have you been on lately? I don't know what that's Q.
I don't know if you're familiar with Q.
That's R. Whatever comes after Q.
M.
R-Anon. Yeah. Mick-Anon.
Mick-Anon, yeah.
Oh, well, it's so good to see you, Mark. I missed you. Welcome back to town. I know you just got back into town, and it wouldn't have mattered anyways because we haven't seen each other really in months, except for one errant birthday party.
Yes,
that we had. You were the sole in-person attendant, basically.
Yes. Yeah, it was. I was a little bummed that Skylar was over here for the official first in-person episode.
Oh, stop.
But I understand. Mm-hmm. I understand it.
I had to get that sub.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And he had to get those delicious cocktails. And I was miserable in Michigan with workload that would not quit.
It was like injury to insult, I would say.
Yeah.
Because you're a bit on the outside as far as the recording session went.
It was insult, and you're like, it was insult to insult.
Yeah.
Or injury to injury. But yeah. So just got back here Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Flew in. Got trivia questions together, went to trivia that night.
Yes.
And worked the next day after being out of town for 8 days. And then today finally had a nice day off, early voted.
Mm-hmm.
And hung out a little bit with Seth, our frequent guest.
Yeah.
So that was good.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Well, before we get into our weekly wrap up, I just wanted to know what kind of questions you have for me today.
I'm still in the throngs of my backup, but I'm getting closer. I've been giving you kind of the tastiest ones that I have. We'll probably do some TV. We'll probably be doing some American history or world history. Maybe a question here. I think I got a tasty one about a past disaster. I don't know, maybe a question about ancient Romans.
Okay. Well, I have some categories for you, getting into the spirit of the season here, horror films.
Mm.
Got a horror films question for you.
Horror films.
Mm-hmm. No, two syllables there.
Oh, okay. Horror.
Yes.
Horror.
musical instruments.
Ooh.
Inventions.
Uh-huh.
Famous lawsuits.
Ooh.
Music festivals.
Yeah.
Green cities.
Okay.
And Netflix.
Speaking of famous lawsuits, did you watch the trial of the Chicago 7?
No, I don't know anything about that. I saw that you were watching it, but dude, I don't know anything.
The cast is unreal. There are just so many people.
Yeah.
Sacha Baron Cohen is in it. He plays Abby Hoffman.
And based on a true story?
Yes.
I'm assuming by the title.
Yep. Famous Chicago riots that unfolded during the 1978? I don't know if that's right, but presidential, the Democratic primary. Basically, all these different groups convening together to protest out front of it. And these riots that broke out. And it's got one of the guys from Succession, which I told you to watch. I'm sure you still have not.
No, that's the one with the Culkin in it, right?
Yes.
Rory Culkin?
So Rory Culkin's brother
and Brian
in that
Cox.
TV show. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He's in it, and I didn't even recognize him. Eddie Redmayne is in it. Michael Keaton is in it. It just loads and loads of great fucking people. So it was really, really good. You should check it out.
Okay.
Strongly suggest.
Right on.
Yeah.
I can't remember how we got on that.
Oh, because you were saying famous trials.
Oh, famous trials.
And it made me think of that. Yeah.
Well, mine's a different famous
trial. Apparently so, because you had no clue what the fuck I was
talking about. Mine's more about like entertainment, copyright, you know, the kind of like the HR Puffin Stuff style question.
Yes. You know okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm picking up what you're putting
down. But before we get to that quiz, how about we go over a weekly wrap up?
Sounds good.
Okay, on Monday.
Ooh, I get to say sounds good right here, and I get to hear you talk about Monday.
I can hear you say it sounds good.
It's so beautiful.
I can hear it.
To go from the terrible lag of last week to this instant hearing. Oh boy, what a rush.
Indeed. Well, on Monday, we held No Nonsense Trivia Pub Quiz number 284. Warlock Slut and Rainbow Titties won the first round.
Okay.
But the rest of the quiz belonged to Trivia Newton John entirely. They won the second and third and overall, dominating with 95 points total. Mark, how was Nice Guys Pizza Trivia on Wednesday?
It was good. The World Series going on right now, so I feel like everything is a little bit light in the area of seeing that the Tampa Bay, formerly the Devil Rays, but now the Tampa Bay Rays are playing. We didn't have a crazy amount of teams playing, sweeping. Sorry, Mark, you're locked out of your room with 13 points, 34 points in the second round, and 30 points in the last round, narrowly beating out the next closest team. They got a little cocky with sending in the last answer. They ended up losing 20 points. That was Elise and Seth together, but were able to beat out all the other teams in attendance on including the teams on Zoom. Whiskey Tango winning overall with 68 points.
It is hard to stop Whiskey Tango lately, isn't it?
They are unreal.
They got the high score on Zoom when I covered for you.
Yeah, there actually. You go. Yeah, they're a force to be reckoned with.
Mm-hmm. But on Thursday, Whiskey Tango continued their recent domination over the No Nonsense Trivia Universe by winning. That's what we're gonna call it. When you win a quiz, you whiz. they won quiz 85 with an astonishing 178,607 points. Apple 30309 came in second with 98,156 points. That's almost 80,000 point difference between number one and number two, amounting to a very large gap between first and second place. Explosive Jedi David Holbrook got third that quiz. And for quiz 86, H-Bomb and Friends went a little further than Whiskey Tango did, earning 179,508 points and securing his 20th quiz victory. Congratulations, H-Bomb. For those following along, Grantastic Glenn has 21 victories, so Damn. The top of the leaderboard is very vulnerable this week. Whiskey Tango DC and Molly B. Twitchin getting second and third place, respectively. And for our audio round, it was Apple 30309 who was able to identify the most cartoon theme songs the quickest, her final score being 133,783 points. Grantastic Glenn and H-Bomb placing second and third in that quiz.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
I have to tell you, tonight I had some of the charcuterie board at Jungle Bird Tiki.
Oh, I didn't know they had a charcuterie over there.
They do. And they have this like candied pork belly.
Oh,
dude, it's
baby,
it's so good. Oh yes. Squeeze that one out just to make a little extra room for some more.
Kind of reminds me of the $1 million bacon that we've been known to have.
Oh,
you know, I love the million. It's like the high grade version of the $1 million bacon.
This morning when I went out for breakfast with Seth, I got regular bacon, but I did pour a little bit of log cabin syrup on there to give it the $1 million bacon feel.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Listeners, if you want to play No Nonsense Trivia this week, you have a few opportunities to do so. Tonight, Monday, October 26th, we'll be back at the Palace Pub and Wine Bar for live trivia, asking questions about sitcoms such as Seinfeld, The Office, Community, and It's Always Sunny, as well as some trivia about banned books, country music, video games, food, football, 80s and 90s movies, and more. Just find the link to the description of this episode on our Facebook page. And of course, you can play Nice Guys Pizza Trivia with Mark Davis on Wednesday at 8 p.m., either at Nice Guys Pizza itself in Cape Coral, Florida, or on Zoom. You can find the link to that in the show notes of this episode as well. And of course, you can play No Nonsense Trivia live on Twitch at a regularly scheduled time of Thursday, October 29th at 8 p.m. Eastern. I'll be asking questions about movies, memes, French and Italian stuff, mid-2000s pop music, physics, geography, and more. And now that we're in the last week before the election, we'll even play a question of Trump's son or Biden's son. I'll give you some details. You're going to have to tell me, is it a Trump son or is it a Biden son? And we will have a guitar solo identification audio round as well. It's going to be a very exciting quiz. As I mentioned earlier, Glenn's number one position is vulnerable. Also, our Rumpelstiltskin Kenya, proverbial lightkeeper Matt, Whiskey Tango, Apple 30309, Valkia, and Pandarar all have an opportunity to enter the top five this week. And you too can compete and suggest categories for future Twitch quizzes. Visit twitch.tv/nononsensetrivia and give us a follow to get a reminder for that.
Oof.
And make sure you follow us at No Nonsense Trivia on Twitch and social media to stay updated on all of our podcast streams and events. Join us, won't you?
Oh my God, it sounds so good. Gorgeous.
It didn't even sound that good, but it just sounded so much better.
I could actually hear you when you were saying the words.
Lovely.
Oh, how glorious.
All right, let's take a quick break.
Okay, and then we'll come back for some live one-on-one questions.
Right, we're back. Mark, I have a horror films question okay. for you. Horror films.
I hear you loud and clear, buddy.
Horror films.
Horror.
What British film production company is best known for their series of gothic horror films, including takes on Frankenstein, Dracula, and the Mummy, that were notably filmed in color and released in the between the mid-1950s to 1970s?
Not a good start.
Sometimes I can't gauge it. I don't know what you do know and what you don't.
I know, dude. It's one of the hardest things. It's hard enough when you're doing with just one person, when you're doing with a whole, you know, a whole group of people. It's right. Is anybody going to know that? Anybody out there?
And now you have to do the solo sauce.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I thought it was only fitting that our first, where you and I were in the room together, we went back to basics, you know,
yes.
and embarrassed ourselves, you know, together.
We will. Perhaps maybe
British production company,
British film company, best known for their series of gothic horror films, including takes on Frankenstein, Dracula, and the Mummy, that were notably filmed in color and released between the mid-1950s to 1970s.
Well, I'm going to guess that color has something to do with the name, possibly. British Film Company. I really have no idea.
Kate Bush has a song that's titled, named after this film production company. I don't know how familiar you are with her work.
Not terribly. I dated a woman who was really into Kate Bush. The only thing I can think of is she had a song called like Up the Hill. So I guess I'll say Up the Hill.
Oh, no, that's not it. Running Up That Hill.
Ooh, Running Up That Hill.
Yeah, Placebo covered that, too.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a good cover. But the correct answer is Hammer Horror.
Oh, never heard of it.
Okay, I'm sure you've seen a little bit of it. Let me jog your memory a little bit. First of all, there's lots of Star Wars connections. David Prowse, who physically portrayed Darth Vader, played Frankenstein's monster in several Hammer horror films. And Peter Cushing, a.k.a. Grand Moff Tarkin, played Baron Frankenstein in 6 films and Van Helsing in 5 Hammer horror films. So he was a big actor for them. And Christopher Lee made a big name for himself internationally for the first time playing Dracula in Hammer's 1958 Dracula film. So if you've ever seen a picture of Christopher Lee, a young Christopher Lee playing Dracula, that is the incarnation there.
Interesting. Yes. It still does not ring any bells.
But, and a lot of films at the time were done in black and white. So the fact that they were releasing horror films in color with bright red blood was like a big deal at the time.
Gotcha. All right. I don't know. Talking about gauging. We'll see how you do with this one.
Okay.
Who played the adult Santino Sonny Corleone in The Godfather?
That would be.
To watch you suss in person.
Oh my gosh. That would be. Sonny was played by.
Big Swig. That was Small Swig.
Oh my gosh. It wasn't James Woods. Or was it? He was so young at the time. I can remember his. I could draw the character. He's got like kind of a, you know, brownish, reddish coif. He's got a shirtless scene where he's got a shitload of chest hair. Like everything else is hairless, but his chest just looks like fucking Arch Deluxe.
What's a Zangief?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Zangief cut.
Got the Zangief cut.
And he's cut down. He's cut down
in his prime.
In his prime. Outside of a spoiler alert, outside of his car, he's gunned down. Is that James Woods? No, it's not James Woods. What's his name? This is going to piss me off because maybe it is James Woods and he's just undergone a transformation called aging that makes him look like two different people. Or it's, man. Oh, Mark. Yes. You stumped me good here right at the get-go. This is something I should know. There's Al Pacino. There's, what's his name from Falling Down and Lonesome Dove and, the old cowboy guy. He plays the lawyer in The Godfather. But that's not what you're asking. You're asking about Sonny. You're asking about Sonny, and I'm just stalling because I can't remember who the other guy that I'm thinking of that looked kind of like James Woods at one point that it could be, but maybe it is just James Woods. I'm going with James Woods.
Sorry, that's incorrect. It's another famous James. James Caan.
James Caan!
Caan!
God damn it. His son is Scott Caan.
James Caan.
Damn it. I knew I had the wrong James.
Oh, what a perfect fucking. God damn what it. A perfect first question. I feel like it just threw the perfect slider.
Indeed. Very good.
Thank you.
Musical instruments.
Okay.
This is really a movie's question, though.
Okay, good.
What kind of metalworking tool appears in the musical score for films including Jaws, Alien, The Terminator, The Matrix, and the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and has been used as a recording instrument by rock groups such as the Beatles and Metallica?
Think I might actually get one.
Okay.
The Terminator, bum 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 bum, king king, bum 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 bum. And then you said the Beatles, which makes me think of Maxwell's Silver Hammer. I think the answer is an anvil.
That's yes, correct.
All right.
Very good. Yes, you've identified it. John Williams, John Davis, Howard Shore, all anvil fanatics, basically. And yeah, For Whom the Bell Tolls, I think, might have a
hammer, no, anvil I don't in think it. So. No, it's got a bell.
It's got a bell. No anvil, though?
I don't think so. For whom I didn't the anvil see... tolls.
Well, maybe it's in there like as like a cowbell hit.
Instead of the long ringing bell in the beginning, it just goes clank. Question number two for you on my end. Question number two. What show debuted on September 7th, 1979, with George Grand anchoring?
1979?
Yes.
George Grand.
Yes.
Anchoring. Okay, so it's either going to be a... It's probably going to be a new show. Could be something like Good Morning America, though, or something along those lines. I don't recognize the name, so that doesn't help. And what premiered in the 70s? I think a lot of the network news has already been established. NBC Nightly News. ABC Nightly News. 60 Minutes, I think, probably has always had this like rotating host thing. I don't know if they ever had like a anchor necessarily. Could be PBS NewsHour. I don't know if PBS was doing much before 79 as far as news goes. I imagine they had to have, though. It's not like they just started with Sesame Street. We got the Sesame Street show. Maybe we should get the reporters out there and do some public news radio journalism since we're doing these puppets. I find that hard to believe. I'm self-sussing. PBS NewsHour. Yeah, maybe not. Anchoring. The Today Show. Good Morning America. What'd you say his name was? George Grant?
Grand. George G-R-A-N-D-E.
Grand. The Grand Minute. It's a big amount of news in a small amount of time.
100 grand. 100 hours of George Grand.
Crossfire. No, that's two hosts. You need two hosts for a crossfire. Otherwise, it just got single fire.
Perpendicular fire.
Mm-hmm. You're playing pinball. I really don't know. And a lot of these morning shows have like ensemble hosts. I'm going to go with PBS NewsHour.
Sorry, that's incorrect.
Wrong.
The correct answer. Oh, that laugh. Oh, I haven't heard it in a pair of headphones like this in a while. Just as cold and icy as it was.
Mark's here at an HD.
Seven months ago. The correct answer is Sports Center.
Wow. Sports okay. Center. Yes. I didn't realize that was around for that long.
On ESPN.
Okay.
Yes.
1979. That's cable. They had cable in 79.
There you are.
Wow. I did not know that.
I did not know that.
Inventions.
Okay.
My final category for round one. The horses were domesticated by approximately 4,500 BC. What horse riding aid was not in common use until the 2nd century BC in India?
Horse riding aid.
Mm-hmm. So for 4,300 years, they did not have this. They had domesticated horses. 2nd century BC.
And they doesn't say who did it?
In India.
Well, you know, I feel like there can only be so many answers for this. Horse riding aid. India's got those things that go on the backs of elephants that I asked a question about once. And camels, but I can't remember what the name is.
Kitty?
I don't think so.
They're not called a kitty?
Kitty on my foot and I want to touch it.
Pusa for you.
Which were basically like a saddle, but sitting on top of the animal. The saddle's definitely a horse riding aid. And I can see it sucking, sitting on the back, barebacking. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. It's not called a kitty. I don't know why I said that.
I don't know either. What else could it be? What do they call it? A bit? A brindle? Bridle? Brindle? The whole thing up front? I think I just got to go. I think I'm going to go with a saddle.
Wrong.
No mark. Walked right into it.
I'm sorry. That's incorrect. The answer is stirrups.
You know, I was thinking stirrups and I was like, is that really an aid? I guess it is, but.
Mm-hmm. Because yeah. Actually, if you don't use stirrups on a horse, it creates awkward pressure on the horse and your horse gets tired quicker.
Mm.
So it's beneficial to everybody involved to use stirrups. In India, it was usually a toe loop that was connected to a fiber or leather saddle. There is some speculation that stirrups may have been used in the Han Dynasty in China, but physical evidence of that is scant. And there is a chicken or egg debate going on in academic circles known as the Great Stirrup Controversy, which is about whether or not stirrups are responsible for the rise of feudalism in 8th century Europe. Some people claim that it let warriors just wreak havoc, basically, because some had stirrups and others didn't, and the ones that had stirrups basically just ran amok. But some say that it was a lack of centralized government that contributed to the political changes during the era and had nothing to do with stirrups. It was just the fact that there was no overarching police force, basically, and it was survival of the fittest. So who knows? That's the Great Stirrup Controversy, though. But yeah, for the first 4,300 years that horses were domesticated, no stirrups whatsoever.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for your last question in the first round?
Indeed.
Known to the English as the Five Nations, comprised of the Mohawk, Onondaga, Oneida, Cayuga, and Seneca tribes, what indigenous confederacy did they make up? Known to the English as the Five Nations, comprised of the Mohawk, Onondaga, Oneida, Cayuga, and Seneca tribes, what indigenous confederacy did they make up? He's playing with the side of his lip.
Lefty, give me the answer, lefty. Lefty lip.
Come over here. Whisper in my ear, son.
Can I get the tribal names one more time?
Yeah, absolutely. Cayuga, Seneca. Why is my phone being a butt? Onondaga, Mohawk, and Oneida.
It's not Chippewa. Those who named the city of Chicago for skunkweed.
Yes.
I don't think it's the Braves. I feel like this is kind of like the Midwest area. Oklahoma. That kind of area. And I think it starts with a C. It's not Chippewa. It's
the kick.
Oh boy, did we get some Friday the 13th rate my questions. We got a slew of Friday the 13th rate my questions boy. To get to.
Great.
That's coming up. Man, this is so frustrating. I cannot remember. It's on the
just
tip of my
me
tongue.
Something.
Chippewa.
Sorry, that's incorrect. The correct answer is the Iroquois.
The Iroquois.
The
oh, okay.
Iroquois Confederacy.
Oh. All right. I feel a little bit better.
Because you did not know at all.
No, I did not.
Yeah. The okay. the Iroquois Confederacy, they're called.
Hmm.
They actually had another group that ended up joining at some point all these different tribes together as one in the I believe in like the New York area.
Well, what else are you gonna do when you have like this like invading force?
Yeah,
you know, just taking all your land. Like,
I don't know if this is when that happened or before.
Oh, okay.
It may have been before.
Well, it all happened at some point.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If not now, so soon, basically, in their minds, I'm
what
sure.
What better place than here? What better time than now?
Well, let's take a break. Now's a good time for a break.
Yes, it is.
And then we will come back with some missed corrections.
Yes.
Mark, we have another missed correction submission, theme submission here.
Just when I thought you and I, we had gone through Mike's four, just when I thought you and I would sing once again.
We'll have to wait
a
week.
I'm not complaining. Hey, yeah. I'm not complaining. Who's this from?
Magic City Mo.
I've never said this before about our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put headphones on for this.
Yeah. You hear so much more.
For this beginning, you've got to have the headphones.
What's being said there?
I don't. It's probably miscorrections. Can we hear it again? Miscorrections.
I feel like I'm in... I feel like I'm in contact right now.
Yes.
Like I just got a message from the aliens.
Yes, I will kill everyone.
To decipher them. All right, we have some miscorrections here. We have one from episode 119 with Joe. He was asking us about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Michael Ian Black. And yes. Kenya wrote in to let us know, well, she claimed that you were right, that Michael Ian Black was indeed Raphael. And then she included a link to a video, which we're going to put in the show notes so you can check this out. It's an interview with Michael Ian Black about his time working in this Coming Out of Their Shells tour, where he clarifies a little bit what he did. He went out ahead of the main tour. So it was him and a guy from the state, Ben, and they went out in costumes to the city a week before the actual tour came through, and they would like go to smaller venues and try and drum up promotion for the big one. But I didn't see any actual dialogue or any talk in that video of Michael Ian Black saying, excuse me.
It's okay. Hey, you're getting really choked up.
Hold on.
Talking about, I'm drinking too much beer. Let me drink more.
I got to swish it around, get all those bubbles going. I didn't see anything in the video of him saying I was Raphael. But it is in the video title, so you can be the judge. We'll put the link to the show notes in that. Thanks, Kenya, for writing in about that. What else do we have here? From Aaron. Aaron wrote in our Facebook group, the word that I was looking for of flighting was not the progenitor. Progenitor is not a word. It is the progenitor. The progenitor yes,
and that
of
is
flighting.
Aaron Dyer, not Aaron Sullivan. I don't want to confuse our Aarons.
Right. Aaron, double A Aaron.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So thank you for that.
Aaron, if you will.
And then we have a phone call here from Allison.
Again, Allison here. I was just calling because of Skylar's popcorn kernel question from last week. I thought I knew the right answer of old maid or spinster. And when he said widow, I went and looked it up. And I found old maid and spinster as an unpopped popcorn kernel, but I couldn't find anything about widow. I could have maybe searched in the wrong places, but I think that maybe he misspoke and the answer is old maid. All right. Keep doing what you're doing, guys. Later.
Okay. So Allison's saying widow. She couldn't find anything about that. I did look it up. I found some evidence. There were some websites that referred to the unpopped kernels as widows. I don't know if that's because one website claimed it and then a bunch of others copied it. But I'm sure by now, that along with old maids or spinsters, as Allison put, I'm sure all of these are used in our parlance. I also found evidence for duds, so we would have been right if Skylar had multiple answers that he would accept. Apparently some people do call them duds, as well as, I like this one, flopcorn.
Oops. That's cute. Okay. Yep. Womp womp.
Yeah, exactly.
Debbie Downer corn.
Apparently that happens, by the way, when your popcorn gets dried out. The dry popcorn, there's not enough steam to make it pop.
Yes.
So it's just like, I'm just getting all hot and angry.
I wonder if you can do something like put extra water in there.
Maybe. Mm. If you would like to write us with a missed correction, a rate my question, or even just a little no note, you can write to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966. Mark.
Yes.
Would you like to kick off round two?
Oh, boy, would I. Jesus, Lord. How many crew members died when the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded in 1986?
I think it was a pretty big number, actually. Comparatively, you know, when the space program started in the United States with humans, we were sending up groups of three. But I think by the 80s, we had grown, you know, to not just be three. Was it the shuttle? Was the Challenger shuttle?
Space shuttle.
Or was it a previous design? It was just a spacecraft? Or was it a shuttle?
I think it was a shuttle.
It was a shuttle?
I think so.
I want to say seven. Could be as low as five, but I feel like it was maybe a little bit more. I'm going to go with seven.
Seven is correct.
Okay.
Good job.
Thank you.
When you said a lot, I was like, okay, what is he going to do here?
26.
53.
Yeah. No, I mean a lot compared, like I said, comparatively, you know, to the three. And now we're back down to three or two even. I know with the SpaceX Dragon, it was just two astronauts that went up, Bob and Doug. Uh-huh. Because of the Strange Brew movie.
Yes.
You know, same good name. See, that's how you build those connections. That's how you remember that stuff. Famous lawsuits is my first category for round two for you, Mark. In 1984, attorney John Kirby Jr. successfully defended Nintendo Company Limited in federal court against Universal City Studios Incorporated against a copyright infringement claim over what character? Universal suing Nintendo? And if not for attorney John Kirby Jr., they might have lost. What character was the character in question of the copyright infringement suit between Universal and Nintendo?
Wow. Wow, wow, wee, wah. So just to get this straight, Universal tried to sue Nintendo over the copyright use of what character?
Right.
And they won?
They lost.
They lost.
Nintendo won. They successfully defended themselves. Universal said, that infringes on our copyright.
84?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. I keep thinking E.T., but E.T. was a whole thing with Atari, not Nintendo.
That's right.
I'm trying to think of the first Nintendo games. And characters that Universal would think that they had the rights to. I'm not coming up with anything. 1984. Universal. I'm trying to think of like Universal Studios, if there's any like characters or people or things in Universal. And it keeps bothering me too that E.T. the ride is in Universal. So it like keeps like fucking hounding me. There's a Friday the 13th movie, but I don't think that was Universal. I know it was in a bigger and horror. Horror season is here. So perfect would it be if it was that really bad for a really impossible Friday the 13th movie or video game. I'm going to go with Friday the 13th, I think.
No, Mark. You were going down such a good path with the ride thing. If you would have pursued that, you might have considered the connection between King Kong and Donkey Kong.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Attorney John Kirby Jr. pointed out that Universal had acted in bad faith as they had previously won a lawsuit proving that King Kong and associated characters were in the public domain. So they had already proved that King Kong was a public domain character before they tried to go after Nintendo for Donkey Kong. He also argued that they failed to produce any evidence that people would confuse Nintendo's Donkey Kong with King Kong, because they are kind of similar at first blush. They're giant gorillas named Kong, but that's kind of where the similarities end when you look at it. And it is believed that the Nintendo character Kirby was named after the attorney as thanks for winning the lawsuit.
Yes, okay, how perfect. All right, here is your next question. Construction of the Colosseum finished under the ruling of which Roman emperor? Construction of the Colosseum finished under the ruling of which Roman emperor?
This is the moment that I wish I'd seen the movie Gladiator, directed by Ridley Scott, starring Russell Crowe.
Ridley Scotch.
Because I'm sure that this motherfucker is in it. Joaquin Phoenix playing him, giving a thumbs down and shit, being all asshole-y. I don't think it's one of the Caesars. Julius, Augustus. And I'm not so good with my Roman emperors. Well, it's got to be somebody who was alive longer than a day, because as they say, Rome wasn't built in a day.
You son of a bitch.
That narrows it down. I really have no idea.
I'm just stumping you like a chump. Mm-hmm.
All right. I just got to come up with a convincing answer. Maybe I can suss my way to this just by spelling it. So it's got an us on the end, I'm guessing. U.S. Persicus. Personicus. Personicus the Hedgehogicus. I'm just thinking of Greek names. Epictetus. Epicurus, the food blog.
Have you seen the thing that says, the meme that says, popsicle, but pronounce it like you would Socrates?
Popsicles.
Popsicles. Ooh, delicious popsicles. Now every time I see popsicle, I can't not think popsicle.
That's what I'm going to go with. Popsicles is my answer.
That's incorrect. The correct answer is Titus.
Titus. Okay.
Titus.
He was, is that the character that Joaquin Phoenix plays in that movie?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. So that wouldn't even help.
But I'm not 100% sure.
All right.
In Gladiator?
Mm-hmm.
Gladiator. 1992 film?
No way.
No, this is something.
I was going to say, it's got to be like 99.
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Radio.
Oh, Gladiator. That was the film about bare knuckle boxing.
Mm.
Commodus.
What a way to call his name him. Is Commodus?
C-O-M-M-O-D-U-S. Like a toilet? Commodus. The amoral, power-hungry, embittered son of Marcus Aurelius. They really fucking called him
Commodus?
Is the bathroom named after him?
Maybe. That's how unliked he was.
So he was a real guy. His reign is commonly considered to mark the end of the golden period in the history of the Roman Empire, known as the Pax Romana. Gotta find something about the toilet here.
The commode.
There's gotta be something about the toilet here. Of course, there's a Reddit thread
about the commode.
Did the Roman Emperor Commodus inspire the word commode? No, as a general rule, it's good to be skeptical of etymologies that seem too pat or too funny or too convenient. The word is first attested in the 1680s and referred to the wireframe that underlay a kind of woman's headdress worn in France.
Mm, that makes more sense.
Yep. What a drag.
Oh, well. I guess I'll edit all that out then. What a letdown.
Yes.
Flopcorn.
Indeed.
Music festivals is my next category for you, Mark. Organizers of the Bonnaroo Music Festival consulted the manager of what band, who Rolling Stone magazine called the most important band of the 90s, when planning their popular annual festival.
One more time.
Organizers of the Bonnaroo Music Festival consulted the manager of what band, who Rolling Stone magazine called the most important band of the 90s, when planning their popular annual festival.
Bonnaroo?
Yeah, so Bonnaroo organizers were like,
right,
we want that. Let's talk to them.
Important band of the 90s. I got, I'm of several minds of this, is there's a lot of stuff to consider.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, without putting too fine a point on it, the most important band of the 90s is Nirvana. But I don't know. Yeah, this is some jerk-off's opinion.
Well, it's a collection of jerk-offs known as Rolling Stone magazine.
Yes. And there are bands that, of course, influence Nirvana, like the Killing Joke, the Pixies, et cetera. Manu, a big Pixies fan. Man. So people are making, the other thing to consider is the kind of music they play at Bonnaroo. It's not like Lollapalooza. I don't know how Bonnaroo first started, if it's, it was different than it is now. Like jam bandy or what. Most important band of the 90s by Rolling Stone magazine. Man. I work for Rolling Stone magazine. And I'm like, this band, ooh, there's no band more important than this band. Holy cow. Can it be something other than a grunge band? Like, if not Nirvana, who? Nirvana just seems too obvious. And Nirvana just doesn't fit the Bonnaroo thing. You know, maybe it's Pearl Jam? With all they did with Ticketmaster? They, like, were pretty political. I just got this feeling. I'm going to go with Pearl Jam.
No.
Wrong.
Sorry.
Is it Nirvana?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It was the concerts and festival-like atmosphere surrounding the band Phish.
You know, that's what I was saying about the jam band thing.
Mm-hmm.
The most important band of the 90s, shut up.
No, you
shut
disagree.
Shut up.
You're not a fan of the drumming of John Fishman.
It doesn't, look, I've met John Fishman.
Mm-hmm.
Kind
the
of.
The titular drummer.
So, little known fact, the place where Tim and Joey live is a small town called Lincolnville. And in Lincolnville, there
peas grow there.
A general store, and the general store is owned by John Fishman and his wife.
Oh.
And one day I was there, and we were buying some food. They have these really good chocolate chip cookies with salt on them. And there was a guy, like, stocking coffee, and Tim was like, that's John Fishman. And I was like, what? It's like, that's John Fishman right there. And I didn't say anything because I don't really give a fuck. And
he was busy.
And he was busy, clearly working. I mean, I could have gone up and been like, hey, man, just want to say, good drummer.
Dude, I'm fucking busy right now. Could you see?
Fuck you.
Do just I got drumsticks in my
coffee beans into my mouth.
He's what a lot if less I told laid back in person.
He just started crying. I'm sorry. And I never found out why he cried. But I mean, the most important band of the 90s, like, look, they're fine. They're a good, they're a talented band.
Well, Mark, they inspired Bonnaroo.
Well, good. Okay. Fuck Bonnaroo.
It's an opinion.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
It's Rolling Stone's opinion. You have yours. But that's just that, you know, the clue is that they called them the most important band. I'm not saying that.
Good. I'm glad you're not.
That would be Dave Matthews' band.
You and I would have issues. All right.
Virginia's Own.
Is this my second or third question?
I believe it's your third. Yes.
Mm. Okay. Pepsi milk.
No.
Was the drink of choice of one of the titular stars of what television show? Dizzy's trying to help.
Pepsi milk.
And it is exactly how it sounds.
One part Pepsi to one part milk?
I don't know if it's a one-to-one ratio.
All right, so my thought is Mork from Mork and Mindy, maybe? Like an alien? Alf, maybe? Because that's not something that, you know... It's either an alien or it's like a weird character, like Topanga on Boy Meets World. Like, what? That's weird. You know? Mm-hmm. Some kind of outsider. This is an outsider's drink. Outsider's drink. Pepsi milk. Seems so familiar to me. I just feel like I tried it once when I was a kid and was like, nope. It's like when you're like, Dad, can I have a sip of the beer? And they're like, yeah, take a sip. See what you think about it.
Ew. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought for your old man.
Yep. That's, I think I did that to myself. Makes it so
your old man can work.
I think I did that to myself with the Pepsi milk, though.
Pepsi milk.
Go ahead, try that out. See how you like that. Ugh, I hate it. Man, this is just sounds vile. But I guess it makes some twisted sense. Like, I mean, what is a Coke float but Coke with ice cream in it? You know? Or a Pepsi float, if you will. Seems like something that, like, didn't I see this in the bathtub in Gummo? Isn't that what the kid's taking a bath in Gummo? Pepsi milk?
It looks like Pepsi milk. Yeah. And then he drops his Snickers bar in it and pulls it out and eats it.
Real classy movie.
Terrible.
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm going to go with Mork from Mork and Mindy.
Sorry, that's incorrect. It is Penny Marshall as Laverne in Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, really? Oh, it is. I never saw that.
Yes. And the actual Penny Marshall did drink it as a comfort drink. And she, I guess, let them know. And they thought it would be a neat or interesting thing to make it so she drank it on the show. And it made other people try it. And a lot of people say it's like an ice cream float, you know, a little less thick. But if it had, you know, melted into their drink, and people will say that it also helps your stomach. You can see here Laverne from Laverne and Shirley pouring both milk and Pepsi into
a bucket.
A bucket.
Is that what she drinks it out of?
Yes.
Bucket style.
Yes.
Wow.
I should also mention that upon looking up information about this, people did make reference to a black cow. which is a previous question I asked before, related to the first song on Asia by Steely Dan. Mm-hmm. There's a song called Black Cow. I asked you what a black cow is. Black cow is
root beer float.
Yeah, very good. Root beer float.
Sitting there drinking your black cow or something like that, right?
Something. You know, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this, but did you know that one of your trivia questions is one of the things that like really got me put onto checking out Steely Dan and falling in love with them?
No, I didn't. Is it the vibrator question?
No.
No?
Because I knew that fact. Okay. Your question was, what alcoholic drinks are mentioned in Steely Dan songs?
Okay. I see.
Yes. And now I know. Now I'd probably be able to answer that question.
Right.
I might be able to get all of them, as a matter of fact.
Very interesting.
Yeah, that you asked a long time ago.
I remember asking that, but for some reason in my memory, I was like thinking, oh, well, Mark's a Steely Dan fan, so maybe I should
ask this. And I wasn't. Okay. And Wolfpack fans are generally large lovers of Steely Dan. I would see people mention them. And I mean, I liked the Steely Dan stuff I knew, but it was that question mixed with me hearing Dirty Work on something and being like, this is Steely Dan, like the same band that did Reeling in the Ears. Like, it kind of blew my mind. And then I had heard, you know, stuff from Asia, and I was like, all this stuff is so varied, I gotta check this band out. But that was one of the things that pushed me. Trivia got me into Steely Dan, and trivia also got me into poker. There's a question that Juan asked about what the fourth card that's flipped over is called in a game of poker in Texas Hold'em.
The turn?
Yes. And I was like, man, I don't know anything about poker. And I started looking it up, and I was like, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to play this.
Yeah.
And I started playing poker a lot. I haven't played in forever, obviously, because of COVID. And I hate playing online. Mm-hmm. But with things kind of going the right way, we've talked about maybe putting together a poker game. So that would be really nice to be able to play again. And I just get chills thinking about it.
It'll come.
A little normalcy. Dude. I know. Coming. I love it.
Green cities. That's my last category for round two for you. What U.S. city is the least populous city that is considered to be the most populous city in its state? So it is a U.S. city that has the least amount of people of the most populous cities in all of the country, basically, and also became the first U.S. city to be powered entirely by renewable energy in 2015. So it has the title of the least populous city in the most it is the least populous city that is considered to be the most populous city in its state.
I'm going to say Cheyenne, Wyoming.
No.
Wrong. Is Cheyenne the capital of Wyoming?
I think so.
Okay.
But good I don't enough. Think that's the answer.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I know it's not the answer.
I was going to say, I hope you know that I'm wrong.
Yeah. No, I think that Cheyenne is the capital. But the correct answer is Burlington, Vermont.
Oh, wow.
You might know.
You know, I was thinking small states, but I was thinking out in the fucking West, like there are states that have like eight people who live there or whatever. Right. And that might be one of them. But yeah. Burlington, Vermont. Okay.
42,417 residents as of a 2010 census. The capital, Montpelier, is the fifth most populous city in the state with only 7,436 residents. So, yeah, Burlington, much, much larger, but still the least populous, most populous city in the country.
That is a crazy question. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Thank you.
It's hard to word it.
It is. I even stumbled. I wrote it like three times. And I even bet. Fucked it up still.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's going to be a tough one.
It probably could still use some work.
I think so. Yep. But we're not rating that question.
But we're going to take a break.
Oh, absolutely.
And then we're going to raise
and then we're going to raise some other questions.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
All right, we're back, and it's time for a Rate My Question.
Ba-da-ba-da-da, 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 Bob Rigby Wilson. Oh my goodness. God damn. Could we have been any more on? There was a moment like there where I was you and you were me. I didn't know where one of us ended and the other one began.
Perfect synchronicity.
Oh, Jesus Lord.
Well, we have a couple of rate my questions here. One from Patty. Patty writes, "Hello, you lovely hosts. I've been binging the show ever since I started my new job in August. Listening to y'all makes me want to go out to my local city of Las Vegas and play trivia and maybe even host. I'm on episode 91 with a backlog more to go, but I couldn't wait to send in a rate my question for the pair of you and possibly more if you have guests." Nope, just me and Mark today, Patty. Here's the question. What is the name of the blade-wielding antagonist of the film Friday the 13th who terrorizes the counselors of Camp Crystal Lake? What do you think?
It's Jason's mom.
That's right. This is a very clever question.
It is. Because, absolutely.
Yeah. You instinctively go, oh, Friday the 13th, that's Jason. Right. I know that. Scribble down that answer.
And get it fucking dead wrong. Mm-hmm. Now, what is her name?
Well, her last name is Voorhees.
Yes. I wonder if this person would accept Mama Voorhees.
Mom Voorhees.
Mrs. Voorhees.
That's what I would write down.
I would write down Mrs. Voorhees also.
So, yeah, our answer is Mrs. Voorhees. Let's take a look here. Pamela Voorhees is her name. Pamela Voorhees. So I'd say we get half credit.
I would like this person to write back in and let us know if we would get full credit for Mrs. Voorhees.
Okay, sure. Yeah. But as the question goes, I'm going to give this a I'm going to give this a 5-star rating, actually. Ooh, I love this question because it is, like I said, it plays with your preconceptions about what the question is about. You instantly think Jason. If you're sharp and paying attention, you will notice that it says the film Friday the 13th, not the film series. And that's what I love about it so much.
Beautiful.
What do you give it?
I'll give it an A, straight up A. I have a feeling it's one of those questions that most people will know. I feel like most people know that if they are into trivia. Here's the thing that's tricky. When you're getting some people to play that are just like average trivia players that don't know stuff, they can get very discouraged, I feel like, by answers like this. Where the trivia people, and I'm not saying that's like a bad thing, because as you know,
they feel tricked. Hard.
But it's like, oh, well, here's an easy one. And then they find out they're wrong and they're just like, fuck this, man. Yep. You know what I mean? But like trivia teams are going, ooh, this makes me feel smart that you didn't get me and you tried to get me, but you couldn't. And they're all sneaky about it.
Yes. And then we have another question here from Dylan.
Hello, Mark and Lee. Dylan with another haunted query for you. During which film in the Friday the 13th series did Jason Voorhees first don his now iconic hockey mask? Thanks and good luck.
Ooh.
Well, we were just talking about this.
Oh, sorry, Dylan. Yeah, so...
Three.
First movie, no.
Nope. Second movie, he's got a bag on his head.
But does he get the mask on the end of the second movie?
No. It's in the third movie.
Okay.
He goes full bag until he's presumed to be destroyed in the second movie. But he gets the hockey mask. I don't even know if it's at the beginning, but it's in the third movie.
Okay.
I'm like 100% certain on that, but let's look it up.
Okay.
You know, just to do a due diligence.
Yes, please.
Do 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 do
boom boom.
Mark, do you know what the name of that song is?
No.
You don't?
I don't.
Oh, that's a bit of Jeopardy trivia.
Yeah.
It's called Think Music.
Wow, what a clever fucking title.
Indeed.
Someone should get fucking clubbed in the knees for coming out with that name.
Oh, no. Let's see here.
They're going to say, oh, no, because you got it wrong.
No.
Oh, no. Oh, what have I done?
Jason Voorhees covered his face with a bag most of the time during the killings in Friday the 13th Part 2 and the first part of Friday the 13th Part 3, where he later got the mask he is most known for.
Ah, okay.
So, good. Yes.
I would have guessed 3.
Mm-hmm. We're right.
Hooray.
I'm going to give this one, you know, this is a pretty solid question. I'm going to give it 3.5 stars.
Okay.
It's just, you know.
It's a little just laying there, a little limp.
I don't know if it's that we just talked about it before, you know, with the last question. We were like kind of, you know, pre-sussing this question. But just next to each other, I just like the other Friday the 13th question a little bit better because the answer is a little bit more obscure, I guess. But yeah. True fans, well, I don't even want to say true fans, but like true at the blood. Same time, not everyone's going to know this. So it's a pretty good question. Again, 3.5 stars is better than average. Even 3 stars is better than average. So yeah,
I would give it an A. I'd say it's as tricky and on par with a question about his mom. You know, I think the average person might think that if he was in the first one, he was wearing the mask. Your true fans of the series might not even know that it's the third. Oh, I shouldn't say that. True fans of the series would.
Yeah.
But true fans of horror movie in general.
Casual fans.
Remember that it's the third.
Yeah, I guess it's the false confidence that the first question imposes on you that I like that. I don't know. There's like a troll sensibility that I like, you know, where this question doesn't really have it. You're not like, oh, I know it's the first one, you know,
yeah.
Like you would be with like, oh, it's definitely Jason, you know?
Right. Yeah. I feel you.
Very good. Well, if you'd like to write us with a Rate My Question,
Yeah,
they could be horror movie related or not. You could pick a different topic as well. Please give us a shout out. Give us a shout out.
Let it all out.
Give us a line. Drop us a line. I'll get one of these together here. You can write to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966. Okay.
All right.
Our final questions. Netflix is my category for you.
And also chill.
Mm-hmm. What 1998 movie was the first to ever be mailed out by Netflix on DVD in 1998 and also features less than 15 minutes of on-screen time featuring its title character?
Wow. One more time.
What 1988 movie
88
was the first to ever be mailed out by Netflix on DVD in 1998 and also features less than 15 minutes of on-screen time featuring its title character?
Wow. What a tough fucking question.
Yeah, I felt like this was a good last question for its difficulty.
Yeah. Yeah. 1988 movie.
Mm-hmm.
15 minutes of its title character. So the main character in the movie is a titular character and appears for only 15 minutes. 1988. Fuck, man. What a stumper. What a good one.
Thank you.
I wish I knew the first movie sent out by Netflix. I might actually have that information somewhere in my brain. I'm trying to think of like movies from like around 88. Rain Man, but Dustin Hoffman is in it more than 15 minutes.
Well, there's a meteorologist character that movie's named after that's only in the movie on the background on the TV. Hello, I'm the Rain Man. We'll be checking in with Sunman next.
That'd be very good for hyper real movie quotes.
Yes. Yes.
And just ideas just flowing out at you. Um, when I think of like movies like that, my first thought was Seven, but he's not a titular character, but he's in it just for, you know, he's like in it. The person's in it right at the beginning or right at the end. Driving Miss Daisy. She's in it for longer than 15 minutes, though, I think. But like, I know that was around that time. Jessica Tandy. Let me ask you this question. Is it a fictional movie or is it based on a real event?
It is a total fiction.
Okay. This is like the Forrest Gump, which was a 3.5 hour movie with nothing but fucking Forrest Gump in it. There's not like a fucking scene where he doesn't fucking exist.
The anti-Gump.
Yes. Wow. I'm doing the thing I hate, sussing when I just don't think I have any hope in the world. God damn. I know as soon as you tell me, I'm going to be like, fuck. 1998, first movie sent out. Completely fiction. It's not E.T.
I'm going to give you one last hint.
Okay.
It was so successful that it got its own animated series.
Is it an animated movie?
No. There is some animation in it, but it's mostly live action. It's presented as a live action movie.
I wonder. I don't know if I should even suss this. I might just want to come out and say it. So I think I'm just going to say it. Beetlejuice. Damn.
Very good.
Damn.
Yes. The first DVD ever sent out by Netflix was Beetlejuice.
Wow.
And Michael Keaton spent just 2 weeks filming, improvising most of his dialogue, based his performance of Beetlejuice on Chop Top, a character from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. So he basically phoned it in.
The character that says, "Dog will hunt." That is sampled in that is referenced in a Primus song.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that connection.
Dog will hunt.
Tim Burton originally wanted Sammy Davis Jr. to play the demon Beetlejuice, but studio executives balked at the idea. And another.
What the fuck?
Another Sam was also considered. Sam
Kinison. Wait a minute, a load of me, baby. Nice fucking model. Honk, honk with his fucking glass eye. What the fuck?
Sam Kinison was also considered, but never offered the role. Can you imagine that?
Get me out of here! I'll just say my name one more time! Ow! Ow!
Other actors who were apparently considered for the role of Beetlejuice would be...
Nicolas Cage.
No, strangely not Nicolas Cage, but the Rain Man himself, Dustin Hoffman, Robin Williams, Christopher Lloyd, Jim Carrey, Tim Curry, Jack Nicholson, Bill Murray, Robert De Niro, and John Cleese. Robert De Niro is the only one to me that sticks out like, what?
Yeah. Man, they steady wanted fucking Tim Curry... For every fucking scary fucking role.
He's so good.
He is.
Yeah. Gina Davis is the only person who signed on immediately. Most of the other cast thought the script was way too weird and needed some convincing. It is Michael Keaton's favorite film that he's made, while it is Alec Baldwin's least favorite film. He apparently hates his performance. Michael Keaton, 2 weeks on set, not the only one phoning it in. The characters Adam, Barbara, Charles, and Delia were all named alphabetically, A, B, C, D. And as I mentioned, it did get its own animated series. It was the 10th highest growing film of 1980.
Is that
also David Lynch? Not David Lynch. Sorry. David Byrne's wife was one of the ladies in that movie.
One of the ladies?
Hmm. You know how the dinner party scene mm-hmm.
with Otho?
Yeah, the Asian lady was the.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Is that Delia or?
Oh, maybe it's Delia. That's right. It is Delia.
Yes. That's what I'm here for. Are you ready for your last question?
Yes.
Ooh, real quick before I ask the question. I had a question called that said the Evros River is a natural boundary between Greece and what country? Do you know this? Turkey is correct.
Oh, I did ding, not know ding. It.
So it's the reason I mentioned this is because there is when we had the super team of Seth and Pedro and Elise and I think Fletcher and Kristen, when I asked that question, they had written Bulgaria. And Bulgaria, the river does make a natural border that on a map is like that long. Mm-hmm. And then the border with Turkey is like that long.
Mm.
And so before I even answered the question, you know, said the answers, Seth came, he's like, hey man, I know you, I know you get a hard job. All right. I know you get a hard, I'm not mad at you. I know you get a hard job, but I just want to say that Bulgaria does share a border with Greece and it is on that river. And I was like, uh-huh. And he's like, and it's a fair amount. And I was like, the fact that I haven't even told you what the answer is, but you came in saying that you know that that answer is wrong, tells me everything I need to know. And it should tell you everything you need to know.
So you didn't give it to him?
No.
Yeah.
No. I mean, like,
it is. I mean, it's hard though because it is technically correct.
It is, but it isn't. The whole border of Turkey and Greece is this river.
Mm-hmm. Can I hear the question one more time?
Yes. The Evros River is a natural boundary between Greece and what country?
I mean, put so simply, Mark, but, I think that but it is has not, two
it
answers.
It is not the natural boundary.
It is a natural boundary.
No, this whole boundary here, mm-hmm. that all that white that isn't the river, that's the boundary. This river is the whole boundary. It is the natural boundary. This is like a part of a natural boundary, I guess. It's like 50 feet of river. But this whole boundary here is not the river. Now, if the river flowed all around like that, then I'd say yes.
Well, did you say a natural boundary or the?
The natural boundary.
The natural boundary. Okay.
We had an issue like that.
It can be frustrating when you think, okay, my quiz is good to go.
Airtight.
Yep. And then you're at, like, sometimes it'll happen to me, I'm asking in the middle of a question, and I realize, oh, shit, the way that this is worded unlocks a flurry of answers, potentially correct answers. It happened, this week at Palace. There was one question, and I realized, like, I have to accept this other answer as well because of how I worded it, you know?
And reading it, I did say a natural boundary. But I don't know. Like I said, the fact that he knew that
it
he
aggravated
right,
you.
It's like, well, I mean, it didn't aggravate. I was just like, I'm not giving it to you. Like, I know that it's like a part of it. But the fact that you felt compelled to come up and automatically, like preemptively, before I even say your answer is wrong, defend your answer means that you know what the answer is supposed to be. And you did not put it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel about it anyway. All right. Here is for real your last question. You might get this. And I don't like that. I don't want you to get it.
Rude.
All right, I'm going to ask it anyway. What cosmetics company shares a name with the birthplace of William Shakespeare? Don't you dare.
He's known as the...
Do you know the answer, but you're just trying to think of the whole name?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. He's known as the Bard of Avalon? Avalon?
That's incorrect.
Oh, no.
You didn't even think of the cosmetics part.
I thought maybe there was one called Avalon.
Avon calling.
Avon.
Avon.
Oh. He was what?
He was born in Stratford upon Avon.
Is it the Bard of Avon? Is that what his nickname is? Or the asshole of Avon? I thought maybe there was some alliteration there.
No, yeah, yeah. It's something of Avon. Yeah.
Gotcha. Avalon.
Yeah, you just like, you gunned it and you said Avalon.
Mm-hmm.
But it was
Avon. I guess in my mind, I remembered Avon vaguely and I was like, Avalon, which is a movie.
Avalon sounds closer to Barbizon.
Yeah.
The Barbizon. Do, 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 do.
Well,
Barbizon.
You win some, you lose some. Sometimes you get one question right.
Yeah, I think that was my, me too, I think. Well, we did okay with the rate my questions.
Mm-hmm.
That was
teaming
good.
Up.
Yes.
That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast.
And what a memorable one.
Thank you for joining me today.
Oh, thank you for
in the Sarks. Me.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
And thanks for listening, everyone. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways. The easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. And you can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page.
Thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show, including our Chris Daddies, Dylan, Tommy, and Tim, our team captains, Sean, Lydia, Gil.
It's Gil.
Kristen, Fletcher, Rachel, Aaron, and David Holbrook, David Holbrook, David Holbrook. Thanks to our proverbial lightkeepers, Nicole, Alex, Jenny, Christopher, Logan, Spencer, Caitlin, Manu, Mo, Nina, Matthew, Michael, Matthew, Luke, Marissa, Justin, Hank, Nicole, Cooper, Carly, Chris, Elise, Josh, and Lucas. And thanks to our Rumpelstiltskins, Kevin, Sarah, Tiffany, Allison, Paige, Kenya, Jeff, Efren, Stephen, Michael C.
Mike Kahn is not Woods.
Michael S.
Mike Stirrups make the world go round.
And Michael J.
Mike, just find us on Discord. You can find the link to the show notes in that. And thank you, Mike J. I didn't mean to make a commercial out of your name.
Hashtag not an ad.
If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or miscorrection, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, and Twitch at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
And we have a Facebook group. Speaking of Facebook, and you can join us there as well. Just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us there. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service.
5 stars only, please. Until next time, No Nonsense listeners,
have a great week.